Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to speak your word to us, that we would hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Would you please be seated? And as you're getting seated, if you would open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know what page it is on the one that you brought with you, but on the in the Bible under the seat in front of you, it's page 977. 977, Ephesians 4, 977. So today's Bible reading from Ephesians is God's much better version, but this is sort of God's version of Oprah's, you get a car and you get a car, everyone gets a car. God gives his gifts to his people. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking more at some of those gifts that he gives, talents with which he equips us, spiritual gifts with which he empowers us as Christians, gifts he gives us to use for his glory and for the good of the church, and everyone gets God's gifts. They're not all the same. They're not all equally visible, but they're all necessary for the church to be and do what we are called to be and do. So verse 8, quoting from the Old Testament, quoting from Psalm 68, says that when Jesus ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to his people. And so the picture is of a conquering king, having vanquished his foes, leads his captives in triumphal procession into the city, and as he goes, he just throws out gifts to his people who are gathered to see. Lavishly just throwing out gold, silver, whatever it is that they've got to everyone around. As the conqueror, he just pours out his gifts on his people. And Jesus, as the one who has defeated the enemy for us, Jesus is pictured as coming to his people and generously pouring out the Spirit and giving gifts and the Holy Spirit to us all. As his people, saved by his grace, which we receive in faith, he has gifts for you and you and you. If you are in him, if you have received him in faith, then his gifts are for you as well. So in light of the gospel, in light of the truth and the grace and the victory of Jesus, we're going to look today at our reading from Ephesians 4, as well as the next couple weeks at other readings, about these gifts that God gives to his people. So let's look at that today. So verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. So the first gift that he mentions is God gave these people, the church leaders, as a gift to the church. He's not talking about gifting them. He's saying they're the gift that he gives to the church. The people themselves are described here as the gift. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor teachers. Now, all of those terms are especially about the disciples, the first apostles. But then these sorts of ministries continue in the church. So there are no more apostles in this unique sense. That was a set group of people. However, that sort of apostolic ministry continues in the church today. So our bishops continue that apostolic ministry and responsibility and are given the responsibility of defending and continuing the apostolic faith. One of God's gifts to his people is leaders in the church. So Archbishop Foley is a gift to us. Bishop Frank is a gift to us. And I say this with more than just a little bit of an apology to you, but God has decided that this amazing team and I would be part of that gift to you. Now, our team here is amazing. But I also recognize that God, in his wisdom and humor, decided not to just give you them, but to also give you me. And that may well feel like, and this is fine, may feel like opening up a present on Christmas morning and saying, oh, socks, thanks. You can take that up with him, that's fine. But God looked at you, Holy Cross, and said, I'm going to give you this guy for your good and for mine. God, in his good pleasure, and I'm sure humor, decided that what you need is an inadequate 38-year-old to sometimes just totally fumble the ball, but to try to love you and point you to Jesus. By the way, it's actually been kind of fun here at Holy Cross because I've gotten to hire people younger than I am. So I'm no longer the young guy, which is great fun, except Sindhu, who I just want you to all know, is considerably older than I am. That's what happens when they give me a microphone, Sindhu. But that's what we're told here. This is part of the gift to us, is our church leaders. And then we're told why. The focus here is not on the church leaders themselves, but the leaders are mentioned because we have a job to do. Verse 11 again. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Our leaders are given that we all may be equipped for ministry. The leader's job is to equip you for ministry, for doing the work of ministry, for serving in the church and in the world. And so here at Holy Cross, every member here has promised in our membership covenant, and this is important, every time we do this, I remind you all, this is not the new membership covenant, meaning it's the thing you say to become a new member, it's the membership covenant that all members continually commit to. And one of the things that we say in that commitment is, I will serve the ministry of the church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastors, and by developing a servant's heart. The pastors are not supposed to be the ones to do all the ministry. That's actually not our job. Rather, what Scripture tells us here is that each one of us is called to do the ministry and to be equipped by the ones that God has given us for that purpose. And so that means, for you, participating in what's offered so that you can better learn and grow and be better equipped. It means identifying ways that you can use your gifts and your talents to serve. It means serving and ministering, not watching others do it or waiting until the pastors invite you to do something or thinking that someone else should be doing that, but you personally stepping in and doing works of ministry. Scripture tells us that our leaders are given that we all may be equipped for the ministry of the church. I want to show you a video testimony in a moment of one of our members who's taking this to heart and who is personally doing works of ministry. Over the next few weeks, we're going to hear from different people in the congregation through video testimony using their gifts in ministry and the joy that comes in serving and the way it changes them and the way it changes others, the impact that it makes. And today we're going to hear from Jimmy Barge. He and his family have been members here for about 18 months or so. But they have a farm. Jimmy has a farm in Loganville that he's been building and cultivating specifically to be a blessing to the community near it. And he's developing ways to use the farm to bless the community and minister to the people nearby. And he's reached out to some of us to help connect people with Holy Cross. But this is something that he is doing. He's the one able to reach his community. He's the one, to use language we like to use around here, that is reaching people near to him but far from Jesus. He is near to them and ministering to them in Jesus' name. So let's hear from Jimmy about the joy of serving and using his gifts.
One of the key things that for me each week, part of my week, is a Saturday morning men's breakfast Bible study here at the farm. And that brings a lot of joy to my heart, just to know that, just to be able to share God's word, just to read God's word together each week, and that we have a kind of a weekly rhythm that we, as part of our lives, that we share our lives together. So I find a lot of joy in the word of God being shared here at the farm. Yeah, I think it's, like I said, just meeting people right where they're at and seeing, you know, there's people have different needs, and just being, I think, being attentive to the needs, the things that they have going on in their lives. A lot of times people will share with me at the farm about a prayer request or a need, and that something's happening in their family and they're asking for prayer, and they may not be in a church, but they are, you know, they're sharing about their life. I'm really thrilled with the connection with Holy Cross, about the connection between the church and the community, and that, you know, this is a, when we pray each week about, when, you know, as we go out from being together in church, about the work that God has given us to do, that this is the work that God has given me to do. The Lord, I believe, has taught me over the last few years is to just to begin where I'm at. And it's not like I have to travel somewhere to go to serve. And I've always, you know, I've kind of had like a block. I thought, well, is it going to involve going in some place, somewhere? And it's been my joy to see that really it begins right where you're at. And I believe a lot in just doing the next right thing. What is the next right thing? And then praying for the strength, God's strength, to do just the next right thing that you have. And that the Lord is faithful, I believe, to show you your ministry and show you it. But it's just to begin where you're at. And Jesus said to start, you know, anything, start small, and he will bless. You know, small things are important.
Equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. As Jimmy said so well, God is faithful to show you your ministry. You can also notice that Jimmy has the ability to reach and minister to his own community in ways that I can't. He is near these people and is making himself available to love them, to pray for them, to share God's word with them. He's begun to invite some of our clergy to join him in an additional weekly prayer service, but we're supporting him in the ministry he's doing, not the other way around. Each of us is called to do the works of ministry. Sometimes that's out on a farm, reaching the community. Sometimes it's much more close by here on Sunday morning, as we'll hear in weeks to come. But each of us is called to be equipped by our leaders so that we can go and do the work of ministry. And we're called to do all of this, to receive the gifts of our leaders, to be equipped for ministry, so that, it says, so that we can together attain unified maturity. Verse 12, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Unity of faith, knowledge of God, and verse 15, rather, we grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We do the works of ministry so that the church is built up for the glory of God. And growth in this passage is about, if you will, growth up, not growth out. It's maturity in Christ, not more bodies in the room. We grow together into Christ when we faithfully serve as we are equipped and called. One way that we can grow together into unified maturity that it's saying here as is that as we all grow and deepen our relationship in the Lord, together we grow. We learn with our heads, absolutely. We serve with our bodies, and together we mature and grow closer to Jesus. As it says in verse 16, when each part is working properly. We all know what it's like to have a body part that isn't working properly. And if you don't yet, just wait. The whole body can't be what it's supposed to be unless every part is working properly. So the image here is that if you're not yet serving in a ministry, if you're not yet using the gifts that God has uniquely given to you, then the whole church can't be what it's called to be and can't grow as we should. Rather, each one of us, which means you, need to fill your calling and serve in ministry so that the whole church can mature and grow in the Lord. And actually what it's saying is not doing that is to the detriment of the whole body. We'll work together over the next few weeks to identify how you may be called to serve, how God may have specifically gifted you for forms of ministry. But for now, each one of us needs to hear deep in our hearts that God has given you gifts for ministry that you need to use. Otherwise, each part is not working properly and the body doesn't mature as this says we should. Just imagine this place. Just imagine the global church, but think just locally here. What this place will be like when every Christian faithfully serves others with their gifts. But the church here and everywhere can't mature together fully until we all, which means you, use the gifts that God has given you for ministry. So may we all identify and use our gifts so that we may all together reach unified maturity. God gave our leaders, pastors, as a gift that we may all be equipped for ministry so that together we may attain unified maturity in Christ. So come, join in, especially over the next few weeks as we together identify our gifts, we commit to serve in ministry, and as we grow up in the Lord together. Paul writes, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We are to grow up in him in every way, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So may that be true of us here together. Amen.